changing, even though a song written 300 nearly years ago still speaks so much truth about who God is, because God doesn't change. And you even hear some of the lines in that song what that lady wrote about what she needs and what she sees in God. The truth's the same for us. The stuff within ourselves, the turmoil, the pain, it hasn't changed. Like 200 years ago, people still felt the way we do today. And it's true. We can go back through history, back to the beginning of time, and people are essentially the same. The trappings change, the context changes, but the essential nature of who we are and who God is never changes. And I think that's one of the great things about our faith, is that the truths are timeless. So as we go back and even look at a book like Ruth, written thousands of years ago, the truths found in the scripture are truth. The struggles that Naomi and Ruth went through are the same struggles that we go through today. So as we see the truth in that, we can be encouraged and inspired. So let me pray, and then we'll get into his word. Almighty God, I give you thanks that you have left your word for us. That's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us, and through your word of God before us, that you are going to speak to us this morning, Lord. And we give you thanks for that. And I pray that as you speak to us this morning, that we would have listening ears, that we would be sensitive to your prompting, sensitive to what you want to say to us this morning. I pray you'd quicken our minds, quicken our hearts, give us focus, so that we can see and hear you better as we engage with your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the truths about lives is that we like to simplify things. We like to put labels on situations and labels on people. I probably wear various labels. I would say that if you ask me what labels I wear the label of a gamer. I love to game. I game on my mobile. I game on my PlayStation. I've been gaming since I was probably 5 or 6, you know, back in Atari 2600 days. I would label myself as a gamer. You'd also probably say I'm a bit of a geek. I love comic books, I love sci-fi, I love Star Wars. So I could probably say, yeah, I'm a geek. I'm also a massive Texans fan. Most of you probably have heard me at some stage talk about the Houston Texans football team. Like, pretty much half of my non-work clothes is Houston Texans gear. Chances are, on any day, you'll find me wearing some sort of Texans paraphernalia. My cup I have at work is a Texans cup. My key ring for my scooter is a Texans key ring. My handle online for gaming and on message boards is generally Kiwi Texans fan. It's another label I wear. I'm a Texans fan. And all of us, to various capacities, probably put labels upon ourselves. Maybe you're a nerd. Maybe you're a jock. I don't know. There's things we put on each other. You can look at those like teenage movies you see on TV. There's always like the geeks and the nerds and the jocks and the AV crew and the band members, all these things. We try to group people with labels because it's simpler when we do that. And a lot of those labels are pretty neutral. They're pretty descriptive and not necessarily bad, but often we'll also put labels on ourselves that are perhaps a bit more negative. Perhaps when you view yourself, you look in the mirror or you think about yourself, you label yourself with something that can be quite harmful. You know, perhaps you say, I'm hopeless. Or maybe you say, I'm fat. Or maybe you say, I'm useless, or I'm dumb. Maybe when you look at yourself, you attach yourself to a label that describes yourself in a really negative way. All of us have the temptation to do that. All of us have the temptation to say, this is who I am, and put a label on it. And that label comes to have power. That label comes to have influence. For me, some of the labels I may attach to myself at various times is angry. I'm an angry guy. Sometimes I really, really struggle with anger. Like Naomi, sometimes I really struggle with bitterness. I can be a really, really bitter person. And I know that. There's another label that I use myself to describe myself quite often, which I won't repeat here because it's not helpful to this audience. If you know a Dennis Leary song, popular back in the 90s, some of you are nodding sagely. That's a label I sometimes use for myself. There's labels, I mean, it is true at times that I am those things. But the danger is if you attach a label to yourself, it can actually come to define you in ways that aren't appropriate and define you in ways that aren't helpful. It's interesting as we come to look at this passage today, is we look at a woman, Naomi, who has attached a label to herself. And as she journeys back to her hometown, she goes back wearing this label of bitter. She's a grief-stricken lady who's lost so much, returning home to a place trying to find some sort of solace or hope. But as she returns home, nothing will be the same. She's not the same woman that she left as. And she comes home wearing this hat of bitter. And as she walks into town, the community sees her and recognizes her and engages with her. And how she engages with them is interesting and hopefully will be helpful to us as we wrestle with some of the labels we wear and how to express those feelings that we have that causes us to label ourselves. So the passage that we're looking at today is from 19 to 21, so I'm going to read that again, just so it's fresh. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So as Naomi gets back to Bethlehem with Ruth, as she goes into town and she starts trying to sort her life out and trying to find a place to stay, her old friends, the people that used to know her, see her. And Naomi, the name Naomi, means pleasant. It means, you know, nice and cheery and happy. And when they see Naomi, who would have left, you know, with two young sons, with a husband, as they went out to find a new path in the world, find a bit of security in the world, she would have left saying, "This is a woman with a future. This is a woman who is pleasant. Happy families. She's going off to start a new exciting life." But as she comes back into town, she's wrecked. And people notice that. People see Naomi coming back by herself. Who's a strange Moabite that's with her? And why is she so downcast? What happened to her family? There's this scandal around her. What's going on? What is this? What's going on here? People can see from the outside what's going on in our lives. And for Naomi, as she walked into town, the surrounding community around her saw her and recognized in her a struggle. And each of us, as we go through our lives, people are constantly observing us. And at times, people will see within us a struggle. Sometimes people will be shocked by the way we act. Sometimes people will be surprised by the way we carry ourselves. Sometimes people will be moved with compassion or fear because of the way we conduct ourselves. We live in community, and people are constantly assessing one another. And as Naomi was walking through this town of Bethlehem, back in her home stomping grounds, people were moved because of that. They knew this lady, and this lady who had come back wasn't the lady who had left. So these women sought Naomi out and was trying to figure out what has happened to Naomi that she has been so deeply affected and has come back a changed woman. So they ask her, they talk to her, and in verse 20 you can see what Naomi told these women who had been inquiring with her and trying to catch up with her and figure out where she was at. And she tells them, very honestly, "Don't call me Naomi. Don't say that I am pleasant anymore. Call me bitter." Mara means bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi pleasant? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." When these ladies sought Naomi out and tried to figure out what had gone on for her, and they inquire, Naomi just blurts it out. She dumps out her heart to these ladies. "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." And it's interesting in this point that how honest Naomi was. This is a very, very deep confession of the pain that was within Naomi. And not everyone is comfortable being this honest and this raw with people. You know, how often would someone ask you how you're doing? You're like, "Oh, I'm fine." But really inside, there's a whole turmoil and mess and war at stake. It is being undiscussed and not uncovered. I think in this situation, the reason why Naomi was so honest with these ladies is because she was so broken. She had just gone through a hellish situation. She was broken and downcast and just wrecked. And she was no walls left to hold to hide behind. She'd just been destroyed by the emotional turmoil of life, and she was desperate, and she had nothing left, no resource to hide behind. How are you doing, Naomi? I'm wrecked! And is that okay? Is it okay that when someone asks us how we're doing, that we say, we're wrecked? Wouldn't Naomi have been better served to say, oh, you know, I've had a bit of a hard time, but I trust that God's moving me forward. I'm going to do all right. Or is it good that in this situation, that when she had gone through this hellish situation, that when someone asked, Naomi, what's happened? What's going on? How have you come back so broken? Is it a good thing that Naomi says, I'm wrecked. Don't even call me pleasant anymore. I'm well past pleasant. I'm bitter. The Lord, the Almighty, has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has brought misfortune upon me. Naomi's just so honest in the situation. She's gone through a lot, and she's struggling. And I commend Naomi at this point, that when someone said to her, Naomi, what happened? That she had the courage to be honest with her feelings. She was able to say, I've been totally wrecked by this. I'm totally lost. I feel like God's against me. My life is ruined. Many of us would try to hide behind pleasantries. Many of us would try to shield ourselves. But in this situation, Naomi was just really, really raw. And I think there is value and power in honesty. If she had just said to them, I'm doing okay. I've just, you know, it's a bit sad. I lost my husband and my kids. And Ruth here, this is really great. I love that Ruth here. Ruth's been really good. Now, there's ways she could have tried to, I was going to say polish the turd, you know, try and make a real horrible situation look a bit more presentable. But she doesn't. She's just totally open with these guys. How are you doing? I'm not doing well. I'm really struggling. If she had said things were okay, there's no opportunity for anybody to speak truth and encouragement and support into her life. If she put up the wall or put on the fancy window dressings to make herself look more appealing to others, yeah, maybe it'd be easier for the people hearing, but it wouldn't be any benefit to Naomi. If we pretend our life is something that it's not, if we put on fancy window dressing or we put up big walls to keep people away, there's no really opportunity for us to support and love and care for one another. We're not being honest with ourselves. We're not being real with ourselves. We're not acknowledging our own struggles. We're living a lie that's not true. We're trying to wear a label that's not ours. So I commend Naomi in this situation that she is able to say with honesty and a degree of bitterness, I'm really bitter. I'm really not doing well. I feel like God's kicking my butt. There's no pleasantness left in me. I may have gone away pleasant, but I've come back erect. Bitter lady. And good on her. Good on her that she had the courage to say to those ladies when they talked to her, I'm wrecked. And I would encourage us to be honest with one another, to be a bit more open with the struggles that we're going through. Because it is when we're honest with our pain is that we acknowledge it to ourselves and to the world. We acknowledge it to God, and then God can minister to that, other people can minister to that, and we can walk with people in that struggle. But if we are always presenting our best foot forward, always putting our best image forward, then no one can really engage with us on our journey to support us and encourage us in a way that's really, really meaningful. And this does take a degree of vulnerability. It does take a degree of openness and risk to be so honest with the struggles of our lives. Naomi was past that point because she felt she'd lost everything. I got no more else to lose, so I can just be honest with people. But many of us who have deep struggles in our hearts, we might say to ourselves, I can't be honest with these people because if I'm honest with these people, they won't like me. If I'm truly honest with my struggles, they'll no longer accept me. They'll push me away and shun me. So we try to protect ourselves. We try to hide ourselves, our true painful selves, behind all this window dressing. And while, yes, it may make life a little more pleasant in the short term, it doesn't really help us with that pain. It doesn't really help us with our burden. because this keeps buried and buried and buried, and it just simmers away and eats away at us. I've probably said this to you guys many, many times recently. Whatever you bury gets buried alive, and it will crawl its way back out. Naomi hasn't buried anything. She's like said, here's my mess. Deal with it. And it's commendable. It may not be pretty. It may not have been easy for those people to hear. Whoa, Naomi, back off. And some people won't want to hear that pain. But that's on them. That's not on Naomi. It takes real courage and bravery to be so open with her struggle. And that struggle that she's unbared, that she's uncovered and shown to these ladies in the whose outward observance has led to them, is an expression of the inner turmoil that's going on in Naomi. And for all of us, we all of us have this inner dialogue that's constantly churning away within us. It was an interesting thing I came across when I was looking at this, is that people are constantly talking to ourselves all the time. Don't know if you're aware of that. I know I talk to myself a lot. I'm aware of that. I even do it out loud sometimes, which is a little bit weird. But all of us, in our own mind, is constantly talking to us. And as we speak out loud, as we converse out loud and discuss out loud, the average person can speak at around about 150 words per minute if they're going well. But in your brain, you're going at around about 600 words a minute. Your brain processes so fast. We talk to ourselves so much and so quickly. We're all the time trying to plan our day, trying to figure out what we're going to do, what we're going to wear. All this stuff is churning away constantly in our brain. We are constantly churning through life all the time in our heads. Processing, planning, figuring things out, speculating, daydreaming, all going on at once. Constantly in our brains, going round and round and round. And as Naomi says to these people, I'm really struggling, I'm bitter. That is a reflection of what's been going on in her brain ever since she had that first tragedy of Elimelech dying. There's been a growing conversation in her brain, an inner turmoil over and over again churning up. Man, what's going on? God must be against me. Man, I can't handle this. What's God doing? God must really hate me. I'm so disappointed. Ah! And it just spews out. The inner turmoil of Naomi's life is expressed in this phrase, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. God, I'm very bitter. And all of us have a degree of inner conversation going. All of us have a degree of inner turmoil going. Each of us has stuff in our hearts that eats away and churns away and maybe is not quite comfortable and not quite nice. For Naomi, that was bitterness. But to be bitter means to an intensity of suffering of mind and body. Something that is difficult to bear, something that causes animosity and reaction, something that is brought about by hatred or antagonism. That was her thing. She had become very bitter because God had failed her, that God had caused this horrible situation to happen, that her planned life had not come to be. She was disappointed and she was despairing, and she blamed God for that. She had antagonism towards God because God had done her wrong, and that had created a deep bitterness within her. The life that she had expected was not going to be, so she became bitter about it. That was a conversation that was constantly going on in her heart. I've become bitter because I'm chewing this thing over and over and over again. And I also, as I said, sometimes struggle with bitterness. Sometimes I think about what our life could have been if we hadn't lost Aria, and I'm bitter that we lost her. Sometimes I say to God, God, you did us wrong. I want my daughter back. And that does hold some bitterness in my heart. And I own that. I struggle with that. The life that I would once wanted, I can't have. So that makes me bitter, like Naomi. And that sometimes does churn away in my heart. And each of us have stuff in our heart that churns away, that brings us low, that makes us suffer, that gives us pain, churning away and churning away, having this constant conversation in our brain. And sometimes it drifts into negative areas. Sometimes it drifts into dark spaces. I know that many of us will have had very dark conversations with ourselves at various points. And that's the effect of the brain. We're just constantly chewing over things. And sometimes we drift into these dark areas. And Naomi has chewed over this series of tragic events so many times. She's just been lost sight of hope because she's just become so bitter. And bitter and bitter. And now she comes out, what's going on, Naomi? I'm not Naomi anymore. I'm past that. I'm just bitter. That's who I am. I'm now bitter. I'm defined by my bitterness. and she's come to label herself, given herself over to this label of bitter. And while that is a true part of who she is a bitter lady. She has gone through a lot, and she's struggling with that, which is fine. It's okay to struggle with the hard parts of our lives. When these ladies ask who she is, she defines herself entirely by the bitterness. I've become bitter. I am bitter. Call me Mara. And there's a danger that all of us have of letting part of our life define the whole of who we are. Whether it's if you come to call yourself hopeless, or whether you think yourself constantly as fat or dumb, whether you think you're constantly, maybe you think you're better than everyone else. Maybe that's how you've come to, no one gets me, no one's as smart as I am. We can always attach part of ourselves and say, look, this is who I want to be. This is how I'm going to present myself to the public, as this thing. This is how I'm going to define myself in my private conversations. And we circle around this thing over and over again, becoming more and more obsessed, more and more consumed by this one thing that we've come to define ourselves with. And for Naomi, she's defined herself almost entirely at this point as bitter. And that's where she's at. And that's okay. All of us at times are going to sink to a point where we are consumed by the hardness of life, consumed by the pain of life, consumed by the struggle of life, consumed by the power of sin in our life. Because we're human and we're flawed and we're inadequate and we're just not that great. And because of this constant conversation that goes on in our head, we can sometimes get carried away and get caught up and get sucked into in vortexes of pain and struggle and despair. And that's life for many people. So where do we sit in this balance? Like I've said, as I said it, it's really good that Naomi can be honest and open about the struggle that she's feeling. And yet I've said that the way she's defined herself as being entirely bitter isn't particularly helpful either. So how can these things both be true? How is it good to express these feelings, but how is it harmful to label yourself so powerfully? How do you find a middle ground there? How do you find a balance point where you can be honest about the struggles that you're going through, but yet not be so consumed by your struggle that you can only come to be defined by one thing, your pain? Where's the middle ground? Where's the good even point amongst this chaos? The great thing that we have is that we are not defined by our labels. If we have met Jesus, if we are in relationship with God, we are no longer defined by what we were. We are no longer defined by our humanity. The biblical reality is that we are not our labels. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. For those outside of Christ, for those who have not met Jesus, who not have a relationship with God, they are defined by their humanity. They are defined by the sin of their life. They are defined by the struggle of their life. They are defined by where they've come from and where they are going in their humanity. But for those who have come into relationship with Jesus, we are no longer slaves to our sin. We are no longer dead in our trespasses. We are alive in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When God came in the form of Christ to the earth, he came to set us free. He came to set us free from labels. He came to expand us and liberate ourselves, to take the limits from ourselves. We're no longer defined by our flaws and inadequacies. We're defined by the access to the Almighty and the potential of eternity. When we come into relationship with Jesus, the switch flips. We're no longer confined and slaves and dead. We are alive with endless possibilities empowered by the God to do amazing things. There's a definite change in our identity when we come to know Jesus. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. That is our identity. All the old labels can go to hell. And I mean that literally. The old labels that we label ourselves outside Christ are cast off. We are set free. We have hope for the future. We can be transformed. So that conversation that goes on in our head constantly, we need to have that conversation shaped in a way that reflects that we are now alive in Christ, and that Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. And it is good for us to have honest assessments of ourselves in that conversation. What is it that I am and that I'm struggling and not yet reflecting my Christhood yet? I am angry. I accept that. My honest assessment is I'm an angry person sometimes. I'm a bitter person sometimes. Sometimes I can be a bit of a jerk. These are all true of me. Sometimes I'm very aloof. These are the things I struggle with. It is an honest assessment of my character. And it's good for us to honestly assess who we are and where we stand. What are my character strengths? What are my character flaws? Where can I be more like Christ? The honest assessment of who we are is an important aspect of our growth as God's children. But as we have that honest assessment of who we are, where our flaws are, where our struggles are, where our inadequacy is, it's important that we retain a hopeful focus. Because as I say, we are no longer defined by our sinfulness. We're no longer defined by our struggles or defined by our inadequacies. We're defined by being in Christ. We have to have a hopeful focus that even though I am this struggling person, that I know through the power of Christ, I am being moved to glory. That there is a pathway that leads onwards and upwards into hope, into redemption, into restoration, into fulfillment, because that is the path that has been paid to be opened for me by Jesus' blood. So the honest assessment leads to a hopeful focus and a heartfelt resolve to walk in to that better man or that better woman. Instead of being caught up, I can't do this, I am so bitter, I am trapped by my bitterness, I am bitter. But I believe that as I wrestle with God, as I talk to God, as I commune with him, I believe that I have a hopeful focus that one day I will let go of my bitterness and be more free in my life. But that takes work, it takes dedication, it takes that constant argument in my head to say, look, stop being such a jerk, stop being so bitter, stop being so angry. That's not what God bought me for. I wasn't bought by the blood of Jesus to be an angry, bitter jerk. That's not what God paid for. God paid for me to be his child, his beloved child, who is growing in grace, being transformed by his spirit into something better, more holy, more pure. And I need to keep on working towards that, being realistic with my struggles, with myself and with my friends and family, but also being hopeful that that is not the limit of who I am. I am more than that. I have been transformed. So as we think of that, and we think of the labels that perhaps we've given ourselves, what labels have you given yourself? How have you come to define yourself as a person? What are the negative images that you create for yourself about who you are? What are the limitations you impose on yourself because of these things? And how does that compare to how God sees you? How does the image you've created for yourself about yourself compare to how God sees of you and thinks of you? What does God say about you? What does God call you when he sees you? There is nothing more empowering and transformational for the way we conduct that in the monologue, for the way we see ourselves in the world, than instead of churning over our own negative thoughts, the star introduces God's view of us into that conversation. As we engage with the Bible, as we listen to sermons, as we listen to Christian music, whatever it is, when we hear God's truth that speaks to us, we need to embrace that and adopt that and insert that into our thought conversation. One of the things that I have adopted at work as one of my practices is that my computer passwords I use at work are verses that have spoken to me in a powerful way recently. I try to counter some of the negativity in my own heart and mind by trying to bring the Bible verses that speak truth about the situation into my life. How can you bring the God's truth in a powerful way into your life to make a part of your daily routine, part of your daily conversation that's going to help transform your heart and your thinking and your life? I don't know if you've ever seen these lists of affirmations about what God says to you. There are like hundreds of statements that God makes about you as a person from his perspective. And one of the things that I've tried once or twice is this whole affirmation thing. I don't know if you have ever tried affirmations where you go and like say to yourself out loud these truths about who, about how God sees you. And it feels weird and it feels awkward and it feels kind of strange, but it can be really powerful to tell yourself the truth about who you are from God's perspective, to get outside the chaos of your own mind, step back and say, hey, this is actually how God sees me. And why can't I see myself this way? Why don't I feel this way about myself? And then go on a journey of trying to become more accepting of who God thinks you are. And as you step into that space, it can be quite liberating. Instead of labeling yourself in the negative sense, you put the positive things that God is saying at the heart of who you are. So I encourage you, when you do get touched by Scripture, when a truth of God does speak to you in a powerful way, adopt that, claim that, and put that into your self-conversation. Now, as I've said, these positive affirmations about who you are that God has said about you, I've got 10 examples here of things that God has said to you about you. And I'm going to ask us to do something very un-Presbyterian. I'm going to say these things one by one, and I want you guys to repeat what I say. Is that okay? I'm going to say these 10 truths that God says about you. I want you to say these things out loud back to me after I've said them. Okay? I know it's radical, but we can do this. Deep breath. I am a child of God. I am a friend of Jesus. My old self was crucified with Christ. I am no longer a slave to sin. I will not be condemned by God. In Christ Jesus, I have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You did well on that one, guys. I've been made one with all who are in Christ Jesus. I am God's workmanship created to produce good works. I have boldness and confident access to God through Christ. I am a citizen of heaven. The peace of God guards my heart and mind. These are just 10 truths of what is literally dozens and dozens and hundreds of truths about what God says about you. And as you say those things, hopefully you've been inspired, been encouraged, been uplifted just a little bit by how God truly sees you. And how does that truth of how God sees you and identifies you as one of his people differ to the ways that you assess and judge and label yourself? Who are you? How are you going to define yourself? Do you define yourself by your worst moments? Do you define yourself by your struggles and inadequacies? Or do you define yourself as one of God's children, blessed and precious and powerful? I hope that as you go away this week, have these conversations with yourself, that you will come to see the truly powerful and wonderful and special person that you are. That you will stop giving power to the negativity, stop giving power to the labels that you've worn for years. I'd encourage you that, like Naomi, that you'd be honest with your struggle. Be honest to other people about your struggle so we can walk together into fullness, into maturity, and into glory. Again, if there are things today that have been stirred up by the sermon, if there are labels that you've been carrying heavily that you need to have prayer about to help unpack, there are people here who love you, who want to have that conversation with you and will support you on that journey. But for all of us, we need to look to Jesus, to see ourselves as he sees us and experience the liberty and freedom that brings. Let me pray. Almighty God, I just excited to know how you think of me. As I think of myself as a citizen of heaven, how blessed that is to know that we are not of this world, that we are of an eternal, glorious future kingdom where all things are good. That brings joy to my heart. As I consider the fact that we have been made one with all in Christ Jesus, as I look around this room today, I know I am surrounded by my brothers and my sisters, my dear friends, who are united together with you to walk this difficult journey together into glory. I give you thanks for all you are and for your truth that says who we are. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.